So the scripture lesson today is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And that God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be all the power forever and ever. Amen. At this time, we'll turn it over to Joe for today's scripture message.
Thank you, Steve. And yes, you can be seated. And a double thank you to Steve there, because if you saw him give me a funny look after the children's message, it's because I was definitely supposed to stay up here and do the prayer and praise time, and I just wandered off, and he's just, where are you going? So thank you, Steve, for that. It can be an intimidating thing to be up here leading the service, knowing everyone's got their eyes on you, and especially if you know everyone out there has the feel for the service, and they're like, oh, that was a little different. But you guys are very awesome about that, and we appreciate any help up here in leading the service, and it's good. It's good to have that involvement. So before we dive into today's text and unpack it a little bit, let's bow our heads and pray together, please. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is a firm foundation, Lord. Teach us what it means that you're establishing us in that word today. Bless us in our study of your word, and may it have fruit in our lives as we look for our hope in you. Amen. So today, of the many things that I've been blessed with, I'm weirdly especially thankful for pizza. And the fact that pizza was on my mind as I was preparing to preach this text. And pizza wasn't on my mind just because I was hungry in my office, though I eat there a lot. Pizza was on my mind because the illustration that helped me get a feel for the main idea of this text was pizza. But it wasn't just any pizza, not any old pizza. It was a specific kind of pizza. Foldable pizza. Pizza cut like New York style. Large slice that's foldable. How did foldable New York pizza help me get a feel for today's text, you might ask? That's a very good question, because kind of a weird connection. Well, Peter, in today's sermon text, he's heading towards the end of his letter, and we've seen a lot of other spots in Peter's letter. His pastor's been preaching through that. And there are four key words that come up in verse 10. I actually appreciated Steve's translation, because it brought out some a little differently. But my ESV has the four words in verse 10 as restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish. I think his was closer to restore, give strength, firm, make firm, and something like that. A little bit different translation, but the same idea is going on there. Now, those four words I keyed into, because unlike what we're used to in maybe our modern thought, where we have our intro and our main points, and then we have our conclusion, which are just a summary of those main points, sometimes in Scripture you'll find a structure known as a chiasm, where the main points are repeated, but almost backwards. So as you can see here or in your bulletin, Peter, with his earlier chapters, and even with today's text, he's working through those ideas to establish, to strengthen, to confirm, to restore. But then he hits verse 10 and he says those ideas backwards, that God is going to restore, God is going to confirm, God is going to strengthen, and God is going to establish. So again, how did pizza help me understand this? Pizza help me understand this, because we can think of Peter's little chiasm, this structure going on here, as a perfectly foldable slice of New York-style pizza. Supreme. It has to be supreme. Peter is laying out each of these toppings here in such a way that when we fold the slice back over, we're going to get a double dip of that tasty stuff, right? He's laying out the pepperoni so it's going to match up to the pepperoni. He's putting down the sausage so it'll connect to the sausage. Same thing with the onions and then the peppers. It's all going to fold over perfectly so we can easily take it in and enjoy it. Now, double toppings on a pizza really enhance the flavor. But when we double up on themes in Scripture, it's to enhance our understanding. And it was only after seeing this foldable pizza action of the text that I got an idea. I got the main idea going on here. Because Peter wants to make it clear that God's work in the sufferings of today, his work prepares us for the perfection of his eternal glory. And to show this off, Peter is repeating all of the amazing things that God is doing and that God will do. I didn't get this right away, though. And I realized what was wrong, why I wasn't catching on to this theme. It's because I was hung up on just one half of the pizza. I was hung up on the future work of God, the future promises that I missed how his right now working, what God was doing right in this moment, corresponded to, prepared us for those future promises. I was only eating half the slice. There was so much more that I had to see and take in. And that's what I want to share with you today. Because God's working now and God's work in the future, they're tied together. All in verse 10 with those four words: restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish. With how Peter is folding up this verbal pizza, we want to take those words, we want to take those ideas and look back. Look back not just at the text and how it corresponds to it, but even at the whole book. We've been working through this book as Pastor's been preaching, so we've seen some of these ideas, and we want to connect them all here. So we will take a look back at the first verses of our text, which corresponds with the last word of Peter's recap. Pepperoni to pepperoni, if you will. A to A prime there. Right? This is verses 6 and 7, the idea of establish, as I told the kids to listen for. Hear how Peter talks about establishing. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. We see here that God, he's establishing your thoughts in humility, that the right now working of God includes your humbling. Now, at times that might be through lifting up himself to showing off his glory or lifting up others around you, but we know that that's often when God's humbling you, it's God chipping away at your pride, like the pickaxe up there, chipping away at the rock. It might be a good thing. That doesn't mean that God's work of humbling you is a pleasant thing. I would say most of us in here know that it's not usually a pleasant thing. But it's important. It's important that God does this work on us, even if there is pain, even if it hurts as our pride is chipped away at. Because our pride, our human accomplishments, they aren't going to last forever. Peter made this clear back in chapter 1. He quoted Isaiah saying, "All flesh is like grass, its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." And this word is the good news that was preached to you. There is good news here, and there's bad news. Because if you are trusting in your flesh, if you're trusting in your own work, your own efforts to please God, to stack up those cups, to make something of yourself, this verse is bad news. Because it means when the drought comes, when the fire comes, when the times of need comes, when the judgment comes, you'll be brought down. You'll be exposed. You'll have nothing to stand on when God comes in judgment. But there's good news. If you continue to let God do his work, to humble you, to humble your heart and your mind, and if your hope is moved day after day, away, away from what you've done, who you are or who you think you are, and put more on his word, who his word says you are, not just sinner, but sinner redeemed, then you'll get to see. You'll get to see one day how God humbling you was part of his work to put you entirely under his care. And that is good news. Because the lows that come from being humbled, if God's removing those pieces of the foundation that just don't fit, he's doing that just for now. God is humbling you now so that one day you will be brought up from your low to be with him forever. That's why we're called to cast our anxieties on him, even in the hardest of times. Because he cares for us. Think about that. God, the creator of the universe, the world and everything in it, the one who placed the stars in the heavens, he cares for you. And he cares for you too much to let you build your life on anything less than his everlasting word, his everlasting promises that will not fail. Because anything else you build on won't last. And it will make those paper cups tumble and fall, like I was sharing with the kids. Even the psalmist attests to this. He talks about this. He says, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And it seems kind of weird because just for now, you might feel moved. You might feel moved in a downward direction. You might feel weighed down. But just for now, the work of God may be to break you down, to level you out, to humble you in your pride. But that's what it takes to establish something. You have to remove all the uneven ground, all the rocks, all the boulders, to make it level so that what you are building will last, anchored on a firm foundation. You might not always like the way that God is working to humble you. But remember this. He cares for you. And he's always working for your good. Even if you can't see that good right now. And even if the fullness of that good isn't until eternity. Do you see how Peter's first chapter and verses 6 and 7 fold over onto that idea of establishing? God establishing both now and forever. Now, we can do this same fold with the rest of Peter's words. Verse 8 gives us our next one. Verse 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. I would say here that God is strengthening your resolve in battle. And here is point B, as we see that fold continue. Point B lines back up to point B, and the idea of battle and warfare is pretty clear in all of Peter's work. Because we have an enemy. We have an enemy named Satan who wants nothing more than to drag us down with him to the fires of hell, the only just punishment for continuing in pride and rebellion against God. But Christ died for our sins, so that you and me and anyone who believes in him could be saved. So it's by believing in Christ that we have the victory. Because we have confidence that we're not subject to that same punishment that Satan is going to have to endure. But even still, Satan, until his time comes, he goes about. He does his best to devour the people of God, to swallow them whole, to boast out the good promises of God and of the gospel with his own prideful roarings. And temptations. So we have to fight. And fight not just Satan, but our own sinful flesh. That's where Peter ties it to back in chapter 2. He says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. So we fight on. knowing that Christ, he's won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. In Christ we have the victory, but while we remain, just for now, we're strengthened by God. Strengthened to fight against our enemies who already have their fate sealed. Strengthened to fight right now by this same word that establishes you in God's grace. But it got me thinking then, what will God's strengthening us look like when Christ returns? I thought of it this way, that you'll be strengthened ultimately by being brought in from your fight. Because upon the return of Christ, or when you die, you'll be taken off the battlefield. You'll be pulled back from the front lines. You'll be moved from the church militant, the church at war, to the church triumphant, the church at rest, awaiting that final day of victory. And then you'll have rest. You'll have rest at last from all the schemes of the devil. You'll have rest at last from all the stupid ways that your flesh tempts you to sin and turn away from your gracious God. That's a comfort. That the fight will be over, that you will have rest, and that God strengthens you now and will one day bring you home, to lay down your weapons, to rest in his kingdom, the kingdom of his victorious Son. But that's not just our hope here, is it? That's the hope of all the saints. And that's where Peter goes as he goes on, because we are called when Satan does this roaring, when he's prowling around seeking to devour someone, we're called to resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. This faith isn't just your faith, it is the faith that the church shares. The one true faith in the Son of God. Because all around the world, Christ, who is building up his church, is also caring for that church. But Jesus is clear. The world will hate his church. The devil will seek to destroy his church, and each and every congregation will have to struggle as sin comes up again and again and tries to tear apart the saints that Jesus already died for. But even in this fires of trials, God's confirming your faith even in suffering. That's the third point. Point C, the onions here come together, and man, they seem a little bitter to have a double dose of onions. Think about this. We as the church, we're being built up like bricks pictured there. Bricks into a dwelling place for God. A holy temple by the Spirit. But think about bricks even. Bricks are only made solid through heat. Intense heat. The fires of that brick kiln. And Christ never promised that this life would be free from the fiery troubles. In fact, he promises the opposite more often than not. That we will find trouble. We will find enemies at almost every turn, inside and outside. That's part of being a Christian. Peter said that back in his third chapter, thinking, who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. And when we suffer for our own sin, the consequences of our own sin, or when we suffer from the brokenness of creation, that's nothing really special. Even unbelievers suffer that way, right? But if we suffer for doing what is right, for holding fast to the faith, we're simply following in the footsteps of our Savior. The one who suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, as Peter goes on to say in chapter 3. When you're punished for holding fast to the faith, that's not a sign that God has abandoned you. Quite the opposite. It's a sign that his word is truth. That the world hates the truth that we cling to and live by and proclaim to others. Jesus warned us about this. He said that in this world we have trials and troubles, but to take heart because he's overcome the world. So even as we here in the church around the world are being tested and built up through fires and tribulations, whatever that might be, whether that's from outside or from inside, we know that one day God will confirm his promises. And you will be brought through your fires. Because just for now, the trials and sufferings, they might seem like they're too much. But know that God is confirming that you're not of this world. That one day your hope of eternal life, free from the suffering, free from the tears, free from all these troubles, it will be confirmed when you see him face to face. So James says this in the meantime, to count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Why will we lack nothing? Because Christ will have given us everything. And that day we will see the fullness of his righteousness and his life that is ours through faith in him. And that's where Peter goes with the last fold of his text, with verses 10 and 11. After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Note the difference. Suffered for a little while, called to eternal glory. He will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. God is restoring your life in grace. And we see that the last piece of the pizza fold right back over. And the whole thing comes together as a beautifully folded slice of truth. Because restoration is our hope, isn't it? It's the whole reason that we're here. Restoration, not just for us, but for all of creation. And our restoration, it's tied up in Christ's work, in his righteousness. Because the righteousness of your Savior, the answer to brokenness, to suffering, to pain, his righteousness, this hope, can be yours today if it isn't already. Because it's nothing that you can earn through building yourself up. You can't stack enough cups to please God. It's nothing you can fight hard enough to capture. You can't put on enough gear and pack enough ammunition to, maybe if I defeat enough evil in my life, I will make God happy. This righteousness is a gift, and it's freely given by our gracious God. As he gives faith in the work of his Son, the Spirit brings us through his precious word that we build upon, this word that also establishes, strengthens, and confirms you as his very own child. This same word of God, it's restoring you now and will one day perfectly restore you forever. So just for now, we endure. Peter says in chapter 4, "Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." And jumping to 19. "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Boy, that's tough to hear. Those who suffer according to God's will. For now, things are going to be hard. I don't have to tell you that life is going to be full of pain. Some because of our sin and their consequences. Some because of the sin of others around us. Some just because creation is broken. And it will remain broken until Christ comes again to make it new, to restore it. But just because there's pain doesn't mean you have to lose hope. Because Jesus, the one who died for your sin, the one who loved you and conquered Satan and death, he's the one. He's the one who promised to turn this rough little while of life into a perfect forever with him. Because by faith, you'll be brought. You'll be brought to this perfection by your Savior. Just for now, things are going to be hard. But forever, forevermore, we could say, if you are in Christ, then you will enjoy his blessings. And those blessings far outweigh the sufferings. Paul puts it this way: I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. If you want to reflect on today's message more, read Romans chapter 8. Paul works it beautifully as he goes through that chapter. And it all folds back together. It all stacks up to a beautiful hope. All of the Word testifies to this truth. Even Peter's letter folds back on itself so well. It ties together, it folds over, and it nourishes us better than pizza, better than what our hearts could tell us, better than any human philosophy or made-up religion. Because what God has done, what God is doing, and what God ultimately will do for us, that's what defines how we are to live and to hope in him now, just for now. Because just for now, you're being humbled. You may be being brought low by God. Just for now, you may be fighting to resist the devil. You're certainly fighting to resist your own flesh. Just for now, you're being tested in the fires of suffering. Just like your brothers and sisters all around the world are, in their own fires, in their own regions. Just for now, you have to endure. Endure the fallout of brokenness that Christ alone can fix perfectly. That's a tough just for now. But one day, and then forevermore, on and on through eternity, through Christ, our hope will no longer be hope, because we will see it and rejoice. Not humbled anymore, we'll be raised up, established like a mountain, firmly by the one who brought you low. You'll no longer be fighting the battle. You'll be brought in, given rest. You and all the saints who are being built like bricks, you'll see the finished product. You'll have come through the fire, well tested, forming a beautiful structure to the glory of God. And you'll be fully restored by Jesus. He's alone is the one who can mend what is broken inside of us and all around us. He's the one who makes all things new. So don't give up. Don't give up. Especially when the days seem hard. When the trials and sufferings, whether that's a result of your own stupidity, your own sin, or the world, or the devil. Don't give up when it seems hard. Because your Savior will one day bring to completion all this work that he's doing just for now. And what he's going to bring, it can't even compare to today's suffering. Our joy will be that much more amazing. So keep your eyes on Jesus, dear saints. Keep your eyes on him, not just for now in the brokenness, but for now and forever, waiting until your King comes back to make all things new. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're honest about the struggles of right now, that you know we are weak and that this world is against us because you have dared to claim us as your own. But Lord, you bring your own faithfully through the fire, faithfully through the trials, faithfully through the sorrow, because you are good and you care for each and every one of us. Lord, as we go from here, may we stand firm in that confidence that you care for us, and that we live with a hope that is eternal. Build us on your foundation alone, O Lord, and bless us as we go from here. Amen.